please stand for the reading of the gospel from Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. Hear these words. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Thank you. Good run from the choir to the lectern. That was good, Carlin. You were on it.
Yeah, well, I was watching the Yellow Jackets.
Right, go Yellow Jackets. Linda, I tell you what, my left arm's kind of tired. I'm almost sore, like I gotta rub my bicep out a bit, you know? He's a big guy. You're kind of wrangling him up, aren't you? That's a good workout. That's a good workout, I'm sure. Great workout. Okay, today I want to talk to you about the future of First United Methodist Church. The future of First UMC. I want us to envision together what kind of church we want to be. The words I used to use and the words I use today about when I talk about church vision, I think have changed. I used to primarily, when I talk about church vision, use the word growth. Talk about growth. Our church could benefit from growth, but then again, maybe it wouldn't. Maybe it wouldn't benefit from growth. You can grow as a church and still not successfully achieve your vision and your mission. And so we can make some decisions that double the amount of people coming to worship, but that don't actually make disciples of Jesus Christ. I need my water. Like, I didn't bring my water up here, and so all I'm thinking about is how I didn't bring my water with me. And my mouth immediately decided to dry up on me to remind me that I should have my water nearby. Is that better, mouth? Yes, it's better. Okay. The mission of our church is not to have 300 people in worship. That's not the mission. Our mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. That's the mission. And so we want to raise up value-based Christian people who affect the world positively because they love and follow Jesus Christ. That's what we're hoping to do here. And so I don't encourage churches to just grow. I encourage churches to be healthy and vital. Healthy and vital. We want the body of Christ to be a healthy place. A place where people can come and heal. Our Sunday school classes, small groups, kids ministry, youth ministry, sport ministries, groups. We are naturally, y'all know this, we are naturally susceptible to brokenness, division, anger, depression, angst, and fear. A lot of this occurs, it is a spiritual issue sometimes, so being far from God can sometimes create these type of scenarios, but life also just has a way of beating us down, even for the faithful, even for people inside the church. So the church needs to be healthy to help heal our own brokenness, to allow Christ and the Holy Spirit to work in that brokenness as well as that of our community, that the community has a place to go. And I believe when the local church has a renewed focus on being spiritually healthy, then it will experience vitality. Health is vitality. The church was designed by God to be vital, not just for its members, but for the community that it sits within. Churches that are no longer vital begin to fade away. They fade away because they will become ineffective at achieving the mission. Disciples of Jesus Christ effectively create healthy, vital churches that are necessary for them and for the communities of people for whom they serve. And as I've said this before, this isn't new, we are co-laborers with God the Father and with one another. Co-laborers. We co-labor together as the kingdom of God is brought about in on earth as it is in heaven. That should sound familiar. On earth as it is in heaven. And like Jesus, and like the early church, we feel this sense of urgency that we're trying to do this together, that it's urgent that heaven would come to earth. That we would co-labor with our Father to bring about this end. And that's what the parable is about. That's what the parable is about that Carla read to us. It's about being ready. Be ready for the bridegroom. Have your lamps filled with oil. Have some extra on you, right? Have extra oil. After all, you know, we don't know. We don't know the time and the hour that the bridegroom is coming. The bridegroom in our passage likely referring to Jesus Christ, to Christ's second coming. In Matthew 25, the parable of the 10 virgins is actually the first of three parables. It's the first of three parables. The next parable is the parable of the bags of gold or the talents, right? The parable of the talents. I think you can go forward with your slide one. Right? And so the parable of the talents is about how God made you a steward of many things, right? You're a steward of many things. Someday the one who gave you many things, he's going to call you into accountability for how you utilize those things. And then the third parable, right? There's a third parable right below that. It's a parable of the sheep and the goats. And the parable of the sheep and the goats is about how judgment is coming for those who use the things of God, right? And so Jesus is saying, look, you want to be like the sheep and not like the goats in this parable. He's saying, look, you want to use the things of God for good in this world. You want to use them so that they're good for you and good for your neighbor. Use them well. Use them wisely. Church, we should all have this healthy sense of urgency to help our church be healthy and vital. Not out of a sense of God's judgment, because right, that can invoke a little fear in us when we read about stuff like this. But actually, God's judgment is a necessary part of the next life. We need that judgment. It's a good judgment that awaits us. God alone is good, and both his judgment and his mercy are necessary so that we can enter fully into this next stage of being, heavenly being. So the urgency is not about escaping God's good judgment, but about being faithful, ready stewards. Right? Be faithful, ready stewards. That is the goal of Christian discipleship, and it is the point of our parable. The children of God are faithful, ready stewards. Now this morning, I want to share with you all five ways we can become a more healthy and vital church in the next couple of years. Just a couple of years. Remember, there are sermon notes in your bulletin. If you'd like to kind of write some things down here, there are pins in your pews. This is going to be the meat of what we talk about after our lunch today, these 5 points. So, number one, very first thing, absolute most important thing that we have to continue to focus on as a church. Every person who is a part of our church is actively engaging the process of Christian discipleship in your life. That you are focused on being a Christian disciple. Friends, you get on an airplane, and the stewardess stands up, and before you even take off, she says, "Now, just, you know, if an emergency would happen, the mask will fall, oxygen, please put the mask securely on yourself before helping others." Right, before putting a mask on them. It's interesting, I missed this. I missed this, but even the parable that we read, right? Some of the women were like, "Well, we've got enough oil for ourselves, but we don't have enough oil for you." Right? And so focusing, prioritizing, engaging the process of Christian discipleship in your life is the number one thing we must do in order to be helpful to others. And though there isn't this exact template in the Bible that lays out kind of specifically, like boom, 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 this is what a Christian does and is, I think historically, biblically, we can kind of gather 5 things. First of all, regular worship attendance. Both the giving and the receiving, right? You come and you receive, you sit, you listen, you receive those things, but then you give. We have people that usher and greet and read scripture and help with the AV group, right? So there's giving involved. Second, develop your personal devotional life, your own prayer life, and the reading of scripture, meditation, private worship, whatever your regular faith life with God looks like, that connection. Third, grow with and through Christian community, right? You attend Sunday school classes or small groups, or you serve on teams. Fourth, serve your church and your community in a general sense, right? And so many of you do. Like I said, you help out in worship, you help out on committees or teams or kids ministry, and you help in your community. You're involved in those ways. And friends, you know what I recognize? I recognize that there are seasons for everyone. And so sometimes you're giving more as a member of First United Methodist Church to your community. You're really involved in your community, and you're helping a lot there, and you're maybe not helping as much here. But I know time is what it is, and so we're always thankful, and we see people doing both, but we recognize that sometimes you've got to kind of choose for certain seasons. But then last, fifth, you identify and utilize your spiritual gifts and call, and that's specific. So you understand what your gifts are and what your call is, and you're serving church and community possibly in more specific ways around your spiritual giftedness. Christian discipleship is not something where you just show up to church once a month, right? Like, I come to church once a month. If that's all you're doing, you're cheating yourself. You're cheating yourself. Like, you bought the membership to the gym, you paid for the full year, and you show up once a month to the gym. And you're not going to look any leaner and meaner for it, are you? So if this is you, if you're kind of like, "Well, gosh, I thought that's what the Christian life was. I pull in here once a month." Look here. Look at this list. Look close. I would ask you, what's your next step in your Christian faith, in your Christian walk? I want better things for you. I hope you want better things for you. As they say in Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, if you've ever attended AA, you have to work the steps if you want to experience the joy of sobriety. Right? They have steps. We have steps too. So that's the first thing. Your Christian discipleship, A1 first priority. Continue that. Second thing, First United Methodist Church must continue its legacy of being a sending church if we want to continue to be healthy in mind. This church right here that you're sitting in, has a history of raising up disciples and making them leaders and sending them out. That's what you all have done well for years and years. Pastors and lay ministers, let me name drop. Jerry Davis, right? Lloyd Heffner, Barbara McKenzie, Rob Day, Marcia Vincent, who we have been fortunate enough to get back, right? Who is back with us. Who did I miss? Did I miss some others that we've... Yeah, there's been more. Friends, I don't know if you know this, but most of the smaller United Methodist churches around First United Methodist Church are pastored by people who came out of First United Methodist Church. That's a big deal. Friends, seminaries don't make pastors and lay ministers and missionaries. You do. You do. First United Methodist Church does, and other churches like First United Methodist Church. And friends, how will they go unless they are sent out to do that work? Unless you send them. Which begins to hurt, doesn't it? It begins to hurt when we see fewer and fewer people coming up through the church. That's when it starts to get like, man, it's a little hard when we keep sending folks who are doing some really good stuff out, and we're struggling to kind of replenish, which is what I want to address in these next two things. I think these next two things will address that. Third, friends, you have started a contemporary worship service before. I think it's time to do it again. This is not the first time I've brought this up. I've brought this up before. To add a service with a different style of worship and music provides us an opportunity to reach and develop a more diverse group of people within our community. And you all know how to start a new service. You all know how to do it. First United Methodist Church did it the right way years ago. You did. And here's how I see us beginning this process again. I see us beginning the search for a new contemporary worship director in the next month or two, that we would begin to look. It's going to be probably, a hard thing to find somebody to do this, to do a 7 to 10 hour position here within our community, smaller community. I would imagine that it might, and we might find this person right away. It might take 3 to 9 months just to find the person. Maybe longer, maybe not. Once we've hired that person, I think we ask that person, that individual, to be a part of this service for at least 3 months. Be here for 3 months. Let them lead one song a week. You know, it's more kind of modern worship. Let them just do one song. And then the 3 months gives them an opportunity to know who we are as a church, to know you all, and to meet you all. It gives them time to begin to find who's going to be involved in the service, who's going to volunteer, who's going to be a part of the launch team. Just like you did it right the first time, develop that launch team. People who will volunteer in the service and invite new people to the existing service. Right, so that we begin to generate a better group of kind of a large group of folks, so when it goes two ways, it doesn't feel sparse, right? So at the same time, we'll also do what we call come and see services on Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening. Come and see. Lebanon, come and see what this new service will be like. Come check it out. And then once we're ready to launch the service every Sunday, then guess what? We're going to have to figure out all the details around having two services. What time will it be? When's kids ministry going to be? When's Sunday school class going to be? We're going to have to figure out all those details. Which, once again, is something you have done before and you learned from, and we can do again. And friends, you've done it really well. Everything I've heard, I wasn't here, everything I heard was this church kind of rallied around the effort. Everybody was a team player. Everybody helped out. And I'm confident this plan that I've just talked about helps us create momentum to have two great services going in kind of 9 months to a year's time. Which is why, when we've done that, this fourth thing will be necessary. And the fourth thing is a church renovation project. A church renovation project. Friends, we don't need another building, so calm down. Calm down. We don't need another building. We just need to renovate the buildings that we have, right? We have lots of space here. And you all know this. I got lost in here like the first 3 months I was here. It took me 9 months to find all the rooms. We just have some problems we need some help resolving around the space. We don't have handicap accessibility to all areas of the building. And so I know that's probably been maybe a problem for some of you before, that some of the space has been inaccessible to you. We've got an entire three-story building, an education building, that we don't utilize for many reasons. I don't even go into all the reasons that we don't use it. We've sealed it off. And it would be more convenient for our age demographic. Age demographic? Yeah, look around. It'd be more convenient for our age demographic if the fellowship hall and the sanctuary were all on the same level. Right? So we've got an elevator, which helps a little bit, but it should be helpful if they were on the same level. And we've got a church sign that needs to be updated, right? You've been looking at a broken LED sign for 4 years now, for 5 years. So we've got some things here that need to be done. So friends, there are problems that we have just for our current membership, just for us. And then there are these things that we could be more proactive about in reaching families who currently don't attend, right? Because that's one of our goals, is to reach families. And so a lot of this is around that hope of reaching families. We need safe, fun children and youth space that families will come and get excited about. That's why we hired a new family and children's director. That's why we hired Molly. But Molly is a part of the equation. There's more that can be done to really reach families. Building space and style are very important. Space matters. Design matters. It speaks to new people what our priorities are as a church, what we really prioritize. And so here's what you need to know, okay? Our board and properties team have both met with an architect designer. That's one person, architect slash designer, about the possibility of renovating our church, of doing some renovations. At the end of the month, at the end of September, the board will vote on whether or not to sign a contract with an architect designer to do this, to develop a master plan for a redesign of our church. Once we do that, we will have meetings with the whole church, right? The architect designer, the board wants to sit down with the whole church. What are your hopes and concerns and goals for our facility, right? And he will take those conversations and he will convert them into a master plan to renovate our church. Then construction will begin. Once again, not a new building, but structural changes to the building, to the space that we already have. Which brings us to the, if you haven't passed out yet, which brings us to the fifth and last way that our church can become more healthy and vital. Lastly, friends, we have people outside our doors, but on our property, who need some support and who need some help. We need to work together with our community to help reduce, assist homelessness and poverty in Lebanon, which is a big problem. Maybe I should call it a problem, I should call it a challenge. It's a big challenge. Both. It can be a problem, can't it? Friends, you don't need to go a great distance to do missions. I mean, you can, and it's good, but you don't need to go a great distance. You can hang out in our parking lot for a week. Just hang out here for a week. Watch what goes on. Have lunch in our park pavilion. the beautiful park across the street. Go have lunch there sometime this week. Tell me who's there. Tell me who you encounter having a picnic lunch in our park. You know, back in the spring, I had a guy named Mark McNally. He came from Victory Mission Men's Shelter in Springfield. I had him come here and speak. We had a lunch afterwards. And one of the things that I remember him talking to us about is that homelessness is a multifaceted issue. Multifaceted. It's mental health. It's socioeconomic. It's drugs and alcohol addiction. It's life after incarceration. It's generational poverty. It's hopelessness. And sometimes for people, it's all those things. Sometimes it's just one of those things. And it could be any one of those things. And so this is not something we can make a dent in alone, but it is something our community can do together. We can do this together, and we can do our part in the together. We can work with agencies and churches to make a difference in the lives of people who are effectively our neighbors. They are our neighbors. And this is one of the reasons I've chosen to join the board with Elevate Lebanon. Right? We had Elevate Lebanon. They came when Mark came and spoke, and then later they asked me to be on the board, and I accepted that opportunity because I believe in the difference that Elevate Lebanon can make on homeless and poverty in our community. And I'm thankful because I know that many of you work in different agencies and organizations that help in our community as well. And I know that many of you are very active in those different places. Now, here is my current plan for handling homelessness around our church. This is going to throw you. Here's my plan. Don't talk to them. And if they block your entrance into the church, then go back to the car and call the police. Not what you expected, right? I say this because we had a homeless person block an entry to the church this week. And get irritable. And so we called the police. And we asked for the police to come help. Friends, this is the challenge. This is the challenge. Homeless people can be dangerous. They can be dangerous. I don't want to say all of them are dangerous. That's not true. But some of them can be dangerous. And I want you to be safe. I want our church members to be safe. And I want to find a better way for us to help our homeless neighbors who ultimately need help learning how to help themselves. That's the challenge, is that we help them learn to help themselves. And so I would say that we need a better plan in the next year or two to better assist people who are really, at this point, you know what they're doing? They're loitering and trespassing. I mean, they are. That's what they've been doing. They've been loitering and trespassing, but they've chosen to do so at a church. They've chosen to do so at our church. And we've got a history of this. It didn't just happen in the last year. It's picked up in the last year. It's been happening for a while. And friends, maybe it's because they see the church as vital in a different way than we do. They see the church as vital. They think maybe it could be that something good could happen for them here in this place. And isn't that our goal? Isn't that what we kind of hope for? So remember, you and I need a spiritual health and vitality in our lives that comes from our faith. That we would have a spiritual health and vitality. And our community needs a health and vitality that can hopefully emanate from our church as we focus on these things. So what I need you to do now is I need you to bathe these five things in prayer. I need you to bathe them in prayer, and I need to ask you a question. Can you envision our church this way? Can you envision our church this way? Can you see something better within you, within its walls, around our community? Can you see it? Are these God-sized goals? Are these God-sized goals? Do you believe that these are the steps to raising up disciples at First United Methodist Church, the type of folks that Jesus Christ would be proud of, that he would want to walk beside? feel a sense of urgency in these things? This is really important. This is really important. Do you sense urgency? Do you experience the Holy Spirit creating an urgency within you for these things or not? Pastor Jim, some of these things are kind of good, but I'm not sure. Maybe not right now. Maybe later. Because friends, after lunch, that's what we're going to talk about, right? You're going to talk about these things. You're going to let somebody know. Do you feel a sense of urgency? We've got we've got board members that'll be at each table. We've got just three simple questions that we want to ask, kind of around these things, to give you an opportunity to share and to give input, and for the board to know, and your lay leader Vanessa, for her to know, myself, and so that's our goal. Can we pray together? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, it was a challenging week. It was a challenging week. Knowing what you call us to do, knowing what you do, and yet being concerned for my safety, the safety of staff, folks like that. Lord, I really want to do better than what I did this week. And Lord, I know that we have the capacity for better. Our church has the capacity for better. But Lord, if it's going to happen, you've got to inspire it within us. You got to help us focus. You got to help us have unity. And so, Lord, we're going to trust in you. And Lord, this is listening right now. Lord, we've laid these things out. You know, nothing's been done. Because we're just going to listen today. And we're going to talk about what it is that we're hearing from you for our church. And for our community. And we know it is urgent. We know it is urgent. So Lord, we love you. This is your church. Your will be done here at First United Methodist Church. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.